I want to ask you, if you would, just to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment as we go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts as we begin to look at the Word of God. We have already heard messages and song this morning, and I pray that your life has been touched. Father God, we pray now as we look at the most precious Word known to mankind. God, the Word that is alive, living, and Father, able to change lives for eternity. I pray in this moment, God, that right now, for every one of us, that Lord, our lives are changed through what we're about to look at. God, that we would see what true growth is in a believer's life. Father, what true growth is in the life of a church. God, that we would take our focus off of what the world has told us is the key measurements of the life of a church. And God, we look at what your word says is true growth in a church. Lord, I pray this. I pray that, Lord God, I would come to the understanding. For years now, I have had my eyes where they should not have been whenever it comes to this subject. Lord, I have looked, and God, so many times become downhearted, depressed, and in a lot of cases, overwhelmed. But God, your word points us in the direction that we're all to be looking as individuals and as a church. And I pray when we leave here this morning, we would have that direction. God, not only have it, but Lord, we would act upon it. This we pray in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, I want to invite you this morning, if you would, to take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We continue our series, Christian Basics. We're going to talk this morning about growing spiritually. How are you growing today? Or are you growing today? Would you categorize yourself as a person who is maturing as a believer? Or would you categorize yourself as someone who has become at a plateau or have planed off, if you will, in your life as a believer? I pray that all of us would be able to say, well, sure, I'm growing spiritually. I'm achieving goals that I have set. I am reaching forth. I am forgetting the things behind and reaching for what God has in store for me. I must be honest with you, standing before you today in preparing and getting ready for this to share with you this morning. I can tell you this right now that I am not where I need to be. I realize that now. For quite some time now, my eyes, as I just prayed, have been on things that they should not have been on when it comes to gauging where a church is growing. And you'll see why I say that here in just a few moments. But here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, if you're there, say amen. Peter tells us this. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Peter ends his second letter by telling us that this is the focal point of the Christian life. He ends the entire letter by telling us that we ought to be growing. Growing how? Physically? No. He's telling us that you and I ought to be growing spiritually today. As believers, that we ought to day after day after day mature when it comes to being a believer. I have this question for you this morning. You don't have to answer this out loud. You can answer it to yourself. But right now, how do we gauge growing churches in the United States of America? Think about that for just a second. How do we gauge if a church is growing? How do we gauge if a church is successful? Many of you men went to First Baptist Woodstock here a couple of weekends ago, and if you've ever been there, it's just amazing to see a church that size. My gracious. Thousands of people will fit into that auditorium. Thousands of people. You can barely see from one side to the other. It is that big. It is humongous in there. Thousands of people show up at that church every Sunday. Every Sunday morning for Sunday school, for worship, Sunday night worship, and Wednesday night worship. How in the world do they do that? Thousands of people. My first experience at the men's conference was a few years ago. Myself and Brother Alan Fowler went there. And I'm telling you, there were people there. I made comment to him about this. Amazed me. There were people standing in the fellowship hall where we were eating dinner that evening who were standing there with a roll of paper towels and a bottle of cleaning spray that soon as you finished your meal, they would come over and they would take that and they would do it. They would make sure that everything was just so-so for the next group that would sit down. And I told Brother Alan, I said, you know what? How do you get to that desire where you are just so enamored and so enthusiastic to clean tables? How do you get to that point? How does that come about? See, because today in the East United States, in church after church after church, how we gauge spiritual growth boils down to numbers. That's how we do it. Think about this for just a moment. We gauge success in the church today based on how many members we have in a church. How many do you have in church? How many do you have in church? If you go to lunch today, you see somebody maybe you know from another church, you are apt to hear this question. How many did y'all have in church today? Well, we had 200, we had 100, we had 150, we had 300. You're apt to hear that question. Yeah, I thought about this when I was getting ready for this. When I pastored the church before I come here, the church I pastored is in Cottonton, Alabama. It's in a thriving community. Big metropolis. We had a bait shop and the post office, and that was it. We didn't even have a stoplight, okay? The nearest town was 23 miles from where we lived, okay? We would often, for lunch on Sunday afternoon, would drive to Lake Point Resort. Many of you know where that's at. We would drive there for lunch, and there would be people there from all over the surrounding areas. Churches had just let out, and I always wondered, though, how some of those people beat us there, because I knew they was let them out early. But anyway, I remember going in there and listening to some of the conversations, and I always hear this was, how was y'all service today? Oh, well, it was great. We had da-da-da-da-da. We had so many people. We had da-da-da-da-da, and so many in the choir, da-da-da-da-da, so many in Sunday school. It was great. Never do you hear anybody say, man, it was terrible. That was the worst service I've ever been to in my life. You ever notice that? I mean, you never hear that. It's always great. But often and many times you'll hear how many members showed up. Then we gauge success on about how many baptisms we have. We baptized 20 today. We baptized 14. Amen. And I'm praise the Lord on that. Don't hear this wrong, okay? But then we gauge things on how much money we got in the bank. Numbers. We got $1 million in the bank. I was so impressed. We went to a big church in Atlanta. My wife and I did one Sunday. We were on vacation. I'll never forget, the outreach minister stood up and said this, that they were proposing an increase in their budget of $1 million just in outreach line item. Whoa! Y'all come back tonight and vote on it, is what he said. I said, man, I'd love to be here for that vote. $1 million increase in one line item. Numbers. Then we look at classes. How many classes do we have? How many classes are we? Well, you know, we have 400 Sunday school classes. We have 20, so on and so forth. Service attendance. We look and see how many people are sitting inside the church. We look around and we say, well, where's it? Well, you know, how many people we have in service? Well, we had 100 today. We had 200 today. We had all this today. Then we look at the choir. Anybody writing a song this morning? Got my eye on you, Ray. We look at how many's in the choir, Brother Allen. We gauge that. We count. You know, we had 40 in the choir this morning. Woo! We had 40 there in the choir. We had so and so in the choir. We had so many. Then we look at the youth attendance. How many people come to the youth? How many we gauge and we look around in the audience? How many youth are they? And we gauge that. And we say, that's a successful church. They had 200 youth at the service this morning. That's a successful church. That's how we gauge it. Then we look at our children's groups. We look at the children's attendance. You know what? We had 40 kids, children in our children's worship today. Praise God. We look at numbers. Is that though, let me ask you this. I thought about this morning before I come up here. And please, I'm serious when I say this. If you know where it's at in the Word of God, I'd love to see it. But nowhere can I remember in the Word of God where it says that growth in a church is gauged on numbers. It's not there. You say, well, wait a minute now. They were thousands of people got baptized after Peter preached. That's right. They were. They were thousands of people. But nowhere did we say, well, you know, those thousands, 3,000 people, they showed up the next Sunday at worship service. We don't see that. Well, how then are we to gauge spiritual growth? How, at the very core of the healthy church is the spiritual barometer in that church. Everybody with me? It is the gauge how successful, how spiritually mature the growth of that church is not gauged on numbers. It is gauged on the spiritual growth and maturity of every individual believer. I've said this for years being a pastor. I've said this, if the spiritual barometer of a church is where it ought to be, numbers will not be an issue. You will have so many people, you cannot fit them inside the worship service. You will have so much money, you cannot spend it. You will have to look at ways to spend it. That's true. You will have all that you need and then things that you can only set back and say, only God can do such things. See, the Bible is very clear this morning. Nowhere do we find any of those things that we gauge spiritual growth in the church on. Nowhere do we find that in the Word of God. But I tell you what we do find in the Word of God today. It comes down to your spiritual walk, my spiritual walk as a believer today. Take your Bibles, turn with me for just a moment back to the book of Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. When you get there, you can say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible tells us this. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says these words. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ today. You want to gauge this growth or a healthy church? It has absolutely nothing to do with the numbers. It has everything to do with the spiritual walk of every individual believer in that church. Because listen, the numbers will be there. It is at the very core, the spiritual growth of every believer. As we just read there a few moments ago in 2 Peter, as we read just a few moments ago in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible, you may want to turn back there for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible tells us this. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Grow in what? Grow in the things of Jesus Christ. Not looking at the things of this world, but looking in the things of Christ. Look with me for just a moment now at 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. When you're there, say amen. The Word of God tells us this. It says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. There is a key sign. A key sign of a healthy church. First year that we went to the men's conference, I shared with you there just a few moments ago, I heard the education minister, Brother Allen and I did, say these words, that the way that they look at their growth, if you will, they do not look at the big picture, they look at the small picture. The smaller, the better. You believe this today, friends? Listen to me. We have believers who are being left behind today. They are. Don't believe me? Hey, think about this for just a second. People come into the church. There may be 4 to 6 weeks. You don't see them no more. Why is that? Could it be that they have not been reached out to? Could it be that they have not experienced the love of Christ through one another? Could it be that they have not experienced the love that Christ shown to the people He come into contact, that you and I need to be showing today as well? Look smaller, but what do? We look bigger, don't we? We look at bigger. Bigger's better. Bigger's better. My gracious, if we look at the small things, making those relationships, making those contacts with other people, then we will see things that we have never seen before. Well, how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point of saying, well, you know what? Truly, truly, we are growing. Well, how do you get there? Well, here we go. I want to share it with you this morning. You may want to write these things down, okay? The first thing that you and I have to look at is this, is that you and I have to have a desire to grow. Have you got it? I mean, really? Do you really have the desire to grow today? Think about it for just a moment. I know one of my children said this. I can't wait till I turn 16 so I can get my driver's license. I'll never forget this. About a year and a half later, man, I am tired of driving. I'll never forget, maybe you remember the first time you was able to drive by yourself. You remember that time? I remember. Yeah. I remember I drove to basketball practice in a 1983 white S10 pickup truck. Oh, I was something. My dad told me that evening, he said, boy, let me tell you what. He said, don't you dare get off Sanford Road. If y'all find out you got off Sanford Road, you are mine. He didn't want me going down Crawford Road. He wanted me on Sanford Road. Why? Because there was less traffic. But I remember going down Sanford Road with the windows down in that pickup truck, the radio turned up, and man, I was something. But I remember about a year after that thinking, my gracious, I got to drive to school again today. It was a desire that I had to get to that point. I had such a desire. Listen to this. Y'all sitting down for this? I had such a desire to get my driver's license that I took 3 times to do it. I'll never forget his name. Trooper Bass got in the car with me, a 1978 Monte Carlo. Y'all remember them cars? That was Mama's car. Had the big, whole, huge hood on it and a little bitty trunk in the back of it. We went down beside the courthouse there on 14th Street in Phenix City, Alabama. And sure enough, the green light just went, come on, poof, it went on. And buddy, they wasn't a turn, an arrow pointing. Buddy, I just woo, shoo, and cut out in front of a car, and a car blew the horn at me. He said, Mr. Grimes, just take it on back to the courthouse. I said, man, there ain't nothing to getting these licenses, are they? Shoot. Sign me up, big boy. Give him a mirror. He said, you can take it again in 2 weeks. Next time I went back, I had to park on the side of the hill. Parallel park on the side of a hill on 14th Street in Phoenix City, Alabama. And would you believe they failed me for not turning my wheels in the right direction? Man, I made it all the way through it. I didn't even near about run over somebody. I made it all the way back to the courthouse and they said, Mr. Grimes, you can take it in 2 weeks. You didn't turn your wheels the right. You're kidding me. No kidding. I am not making this up. You can't make stuff like this up. The next time, the third time I took that test, the state trooper come in. This was before we had no smoking in the buildings and everything. I'll never forget him coming in there. I was the first one in line. I was there. I'm ready if you are, big guy. I'll never forget him reaching into his pocket and getting a cigarette out. I'll never forget this and him shaking so bad. I will never forget that. And I think, bless his heart, he just give them to me to say, get out of my sight. But I had that desire. And you know what? We've got to have the desire as believers too, don't we? If you don't have a desire to grow, you will never grow. You will stay at the position you are right now. And I must ask you, are you satisfied with your Christian life where you're at right now? If you answer yes to that, you're doomed already. Because none of us should be satisfied. The story is told of the great philosopher Socrates and how he had a young man come up to him one day and said, "Oh, great wise Socrates, I come to you for knowledge today." Socrates knew a numbskull when he saw one, a pious one at that. He said, "Follow me." They walked through the streets. He showed him around. They went down by the sea and walked out chest deep into the sea. Socrates reached his strong hand on the young fellow's head and just pushed him under the water and held him there and counted off 30 seconds. He led him up. He said, "Young man, what do you want?" He said, "I want wisdom, oh mighty and wise Socrates." He pushed him under again. 35 seconds went by, 40 seconds went by. He popped back up. He said, "Now what do you want?" He said, "Oh, great Socrates, I want wisdom like you." He pushed him back down again. 40 seconds went by, 45 seconds went by, 50 seconds. He led him back up. He said, "What do you want, young man?" "Air is what I want." He said, "When you desire wisdom like you're desiring air now, you will have wisdom." We don't have a desire anymore. We say we do, but in reality we don't. For some today, and let's just be frank this morning, for some today, growing is sitting in a church chair or pew like you are right now. That's it. I'm here to tell you this is only a fraction of being a believer today. The real test of being a believer is when you drive off this parking lot this afternoon. I know I kid about saying things about driving on the circle down here. I found a place that beats us, and that's Atlanta, Georgia. Especially at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Interstate 85 right downtown. Yeah. The other day, Lynn drove by. We drove through there, and my wife drove. She rode. She didn't drive. She made the mistake of letting me drive. Because, man, I'm all for it. Hey, darting in and out, 8 lanes of traffic. Woohoo, let's go. Lynn rode with her eyes shut and her feet braced on the windshield. You know what? There's really a test of your character whenever you leave this place. There is a test of being a believer when you leave here. Man, we can all come in here and sit with a suit and a dress and all this on. But the real test is when we leave here. C.S. Lewis gave us the following insight, and I quote, "Our Lord finds our desire not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and ambitions. When infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what it is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased, end quote. We are. We are just too far easily pleased. Oh man, I'm right where I need to be. No, we're not. We're far from where we need to be today. Every one of us as believers, it doesn't matter if we've been a believer 4 days or 40 years. We can still grow, friends. Take your Bibles with me for just a moment now and turn back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. When it comes to growing spiritually, the first thing that you and I have got to do, we have got to have that desire. If we do not have that desire today, oh gracious. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Word of God tells us this, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. You've got to have that desire. You ever notice that? I know when our children were smaller, whenever they were babies, my gracious, whenever they wanted something to eat, it didn't matter if it was 12:30 at night, 2:30 in the morning, or if it was 12 in the afternoon. What did they do? They begin to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And it wasn't until you give them that milk. Remember those late night feedings? I remember us taking turns. Lynn and I doing that. It's your turn. No, it's not. I did it last time. And until we gave that child the milk, that is the only time that they would quieten down. Some of us have become so satisfied right where we're at. We're so at ease right where we're at till we forget that we are to long and have that desire. Look down at verse 21 of that same chapter with me. Christ sets the example. We'll look at verse 20. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and hope ought to be in God through Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and told them this in chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Christ set the example for you and I to follow. We don't need to follow some preacher. We do not need to follow a teacher. We need to follow Jesus this morning. Why? Because he has set the example. He is the one that we are to strive to live and be just like. Well, with all of that being said, then the next thing that you and I need to see is this, that we must maintain that desire to grow. You remember the day you got saved? Boy, I do. I remember it like it happened 20 seconds ago. 1966 Candy Apple Red Mustang. Oh, I was something. Moved up in the world from the S10. I remember driving to the pastor's house, give my life to Jesus Christ, his wife. Oh my gracious. I mean, I was on fire. I was one of them type men at that point right there. Give me a water pistol and point me in the direction of hell. I will put her out. That was me. Sat in Del Taco Mexican restaurant, had the boys cornered. The only time these guys come to church was the night to see me get baptized. They couldn't believe it. We got to go see this. Never forget seeing them sitting in the very back row, four of them right there. I can still see them. Went to Del Taco, had them in the corner and told them this, boys, y'all need to get baptized too. Standing up in there. Y'all need to do it. Y'all need to be baptized. Oh, just a longing and a desire. But you know what? If you don't maintain that desire, it's got to be maintained. Let me ask you this. How long have you been a believer? Bodie Bauckham says it just drives him bananas to hear somebody say, well, I've been a believer all my life. No, you ain't. You haven't been a believer all your life. There's been a time in your life where you were away from God. I don't care if you were 10 or if you were 50 when you give your life to Jesus. But what has happened in those years? Have you grown in your walk with Christ? Have you maintained that desire to grow? Or have you become satisfied? Can I step out on a limb and say this? I believe this with all my heart, where the majority of most believers are today. You with me? Everybody with me? And you may be sitting in this room right here with me this morning. You may be listening by the internet right now. I don't know. But the majority of believers are satisfied right where they're at right now. This is all there is to it. As long as I got me and mine, I'm fine. Nowhere do you find that in the Word of God. What has happened? Where has it gone? Where's that desire gone? Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me for just a moment. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. I love this. This is probably where we're going to draw it to a close. I still got two more points, but Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. When you're there, say amen. How many has ever heard somebody say, you know what, in the church, we ain't never done it that way? Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I have. We ain't never done it that way. Well, look what the Word of God says right here. Chapter 3, verse 12. Paul writes and says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, I love that. I use that little statement. Sure enough, I had someone at the church, pastor before I come here, told me, he said, you know what, we ain't ever done it that way. This is the way we used to do it. We used to do it this way. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I've heard. This is how we used to do it. As a pastor, I got this one. The first church I ever pastored. The pastor that was there before me, when I was still in school, I was pastoring this small church. And the pastor that was right there before me, boy, oh man, whew, boy, they didn't like him. So I had to do something really stupid to get them upset with me, because, I mean, he was had already done probably all of that that I needed. But it was the guy that was there before him, two pastors before me, that, man, he was the sacred cow. Y'all know what a sacred cow is, right? They're not roaming in the field. Okay? He was the one. Oh, man. He was a great guy. I'm not saying that. Man, he did everything right, and I got compared to him every Sunday. Well, you know, old brother so-and-so, he used to do it this way. You know, old brother so-and-so, he used to do it that way. You know, old brother so-and-so, he used to do this and he used to do that. I'm not old brother so-and-so. Paul says that what you and I need to do is forget about the things that are in the past and reach forward to the things that are in the future. There is absolutely nothing you can do about what happened yesterday. Nothing. But there is something you can do about what happens this afternoon. Now, you can do that. Paul means this, because see, what does he mean by that? For years, even I looked at that passage of Scripture like this. It meant successes in my life as an individual. But he's also talking to the church as a whole as well. forgetting about, listen to this, the successes. Those successes were years, maybe months, weeks ago. We can forget about the failures, can't we? Oh, we can do that. It's hard to forget about those successes, though. Paul says, forgetting about those things and reaching for the things that are before us. And guys, listen to it. Can I tell you this as a church, just from being pastor of this church? I don't know if you've noticed this around here, right here recently. But we don't have to go far anymore for the mission field. This area is growing by leaps and bounds. I'm here to tell you, listen to me. We are seeing things happening within a rock's throw of the door, front porch of this church. We are seeing things happen. I mean, this place is growing. Guys, we have got to forget about the things behind and reach for the things that are before us. And I'm not trying to, no pun intended here, but the future is bright for this church. That's a good place to say amen. It is bright if, listen, if you and me are willing to grow. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about your spiritual walk with Christ today. What's the question? What do we need to take away from here this morning? We need to take away from here and ask ourselves right now, am I growing spiritually? Am I? Am I doing that? Do I have that desire for that? If I do, am I maintaining that desire? Am I forgetting about the things in the past and reaching for the things in the future? Am I doing that? Only you can answer that. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity this morning, God, to look at your word. I thank you for what it tells us. I thank you for the power that is found therein. And Lord God, I pray now in the name of your son, Jesus, that God, today, as we search our hearts, as your spirit reveals to us who we truly are, I pray we would be able to answer in the affirmative that God, yes, we are growing. But God, if we're not, that God would not be ashamed of that, but we would praise you for the recognition of that. And God, today, that today we would begin to grow. And friends, the only way that happens is to make a commitment to him today. Right now. Say, preacher, I'm one of those. I'm not growing. I'm just not. There's no reason. Listen, don't be ashamed of that. For goodness sakes, don't be ashamed. Praise God that he's revealed that to you. But today is your opportunity. Right now is your opportunity to make that commitment and say, today I begin. Start off small. I start off today. Right now. Wherever you're at, I invite you to come right here. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll be more than happy to pray with you. You just need to come talk with God here at this altar. Please. Please, for goodness sakes, you come. Father God, thank you. And Lord, I pray now in this moment that, Lord Jesus, we would see fruit. Oh, Lord, not for numbers' sake, but, oh, God, for celebrating and knowing your Spirit has spoken and your people have been obedient to its leadership today. Father, this is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Brother Allen, you lead us.
Just sing. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him.